I think problem solving is the most transferable skills because even if you have learned a lot in your past experiences, you will somehow connect the dots when you have good problem solving skill sets. And that's called overtime experience.
Hey everyone, Gordon here. Thanks for coming to the Get Stuff Done podcast. If you're with us for the first time, a very, very warm welcome. If you're a regular listener, thank you so much for coming back again. You found your way to one of our GSD Insights episodes. In this series, which we release every other week alongside the Get Stuff Done episodes, we take a deep dive into the area of expertise of our guest. They share their perspectives on a current or future trend, and we really hope that it's thought-provoking for you. So let's jump right in. I hope you enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a new episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. I am your host, Gordon Dudley, and today I am absolutely delighted to join our guest, Christelle Adamou. Actually, Christelle has been a former guest of mine in a number of years ago when we had an event called the People Matters event. Some of you who might have been with us at that time might remember that, and it's great to have her back again. Let me tell you a little bit about Christelle and why she is a guest with us today. So, Christelle was born in France to a Cameroonian father and a French-Vietnamese mother. She is an international lawyer, linguist, and also holds an MBA. She has been in a number of international organizational roles, specifically within HR, namely with the UN in Haiti and also at the Global Green Growth Institute in Seoul, in Korea, and also the Asian Development Bank in the Director of Office of Professional Ethics and Conduct. So she has also a couple of other hats that she wears as a board member, and she was also the recipient of the Professional Achievement Award from the British Council Study UK Europe in 2021. So she has a diverse background, an international background, and I think she can provide a lot of insights for us around getting stuff done. So Christelle, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Gordon. Thank you very much.
And let me first of all ask, where are you located today? Where are we talking to you from?
I'm currently in my home in Paris.
Okay.
It's wintertime. And that's why I'm wearing so much clothes. It's good.
And so we did first meet through connections in Korea, and we're now both outside of Korea. But it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming back. How diverse are the organizations that you've been with in actuality, or is there a lot of work to be done when it comes to HR and in that respect?
Yeah, so those organizations obviously bring a lot of different people, usually very extremely successful individuals in their own countries who join then those international organizations. So you really get a sort of a microcosm of the planet, but with really the top achievers joining those organizations and wanting to really contribute to these missions. In most cases, the challenges that we find is that people tend to stay within their culture. So you find at the UN some strong African groups, some strong Asian groups, and within Asia, you have Indians and also Far East Asia, maybe Southeast Asia. So you get a bit of some tribes, if I can call it this way, of people who are to feel safe, to help each other. Tend to be in groups based on cultural background or nationalities. And that's a big challenge because it can quickly create disparities between people. People don't mix that much. And also, you find that with different levels, if you're a professional category staff or maybe a more general service staff, they might not communicate and mingle as much as it would be encouraged to because of grade hierarchy, and in addition to nationalities, it adds some of the barriers. In smaller organizations, you tend to have less of that, but the bigger it becomes, the bigger you see those groups from different angles. And of course, there's always a political element in those organizations because they are treaty-based organizations. So you have member states from different regions joining those organizations. So they tend to also look after their nationals within the organization. So those power imbalances between some nationalities or maybe bigger contributors and others can also play out. And some nationalities feel a bit more vulnerable than others in that respect.
For sure. Sounds like a complex melting pot.
That's right. That's exactly the point.
You know, we often use melting pot in a positive sense, but if it's too complicated, then it can come with some difficulties. Coming from a private sector background and working with the public sector and international organizations with regards to what we were doing with RDI, we found that the recruitment process is incredibly long compared to the private sector. In some cases, up to 12 months between the opening of that requisition to the person being onboarded. How from a experience perspective, we think that speed is one of the key attributes there. Obviously, everybody knows that this is how it is in that sector, and therefore, if it's known, then expectations can be managed. But how do you go about making sure that there can be a good candidate experience in the context of international organizations?
Yes, you're right, Gordon. On average, it takes about 6 months to fill a position within those international organizations. And I think there's been a lot of efforts to improve the candidate's experience. I've also personally done quite some efforts on that front, looking at timely communication, using also technology in order to organize interviews faster for the candidates. However, I think we need to be mindful that when you join an international organization, you join an administration. And so it means also that job security is much better than in the private sector. And it also means that it's more difficult to let people go if they're not performing. So there's this time invested into the competition. The selection process is key to get the right candidates. And you get really a diverse pool of candidates because of, for instance, the UN doesn't require you to have a work visa in the US to work in HQ in New York. So you get candidates from all over the world. So the diversity of those candidates also becomes a challenge for any hiring manager to try to screen really the best candidate for the role. I think it's okay to some extent not to speed recruitment because the agility to also let people go is not as fast as in the private sector. It's a big decision when you actually hire for an international organization.
Fair enough. Yeah, that seems balanced, I think. Often the private sector is unbalanced because it can still sometimes take a long time to get hired, but it doesn't. In some cases, it doesn't take long to get fired. You kind of that's what obviously employees are at risk of, or, you know, even worse, seeing cases of people submitting their notice to resign, and then the company flips that round into being fired so that they don't have to continue with the pay for the notice period and the insurance that comes along with it, which I think is a really kind of guaranteed to give negative ripples from the people. So then onboarded, hired, now employee within the organization in whatever country that might be. I hope you're enjoying this episode. I just wanted to remind you to click subscribe if you haven't done so yet. By subscribing and following the podcast, you'll get each and every episode automatically pop up on your playlist every week, so you won't miss any. Thank you so much for being with us. Now let's get back to our guest. What then would you say are the current kind of hot topics that are being looked at from an HR perspective within your sector?
I think the biggest topic at this time is employee engagement. There are many challenges on that front. You have, first of all, people are coming from different culture, joining an organization where the engagement process from onboarding all the way to career development is not always there. You really have to look after your career in most organizations. And so keeping people engaged towards the mission, towards their teams, the work they've been hired to is a ongoing process. I think also there's generations issues these days. In an international organization, being 40, it's actually young. Whereas in the private sector, you're already somehow a director, executive director, a VP. So
okay,
being
interesting.
A young person at 40,
mm-hmm.
there's also, you can see already a different approach to career development and even communication style.
For sure.
Yes. And today, a millennial, maybe 44, the first millennial up to the 30s. So they're a big chunk of them within these international organizations, but the senior staff may be already a different generation. So the communication and working together may not be that easy. And of course, you have also more younger generations coming now in their 27-ish, 25. You usually start your career around 27, 30 years old within an international organization, if you're lucky. But most people join when they're 35, between their 35. So
right.
Generation, communication style, ideas, there may be some clashes. If the senior management is not really enabling those generations to come, then you can create a fear of speak up culture. People don't bring their ideas. And what they say is that if people don't speak up for anything, you have an underperforming organization from the get-go, because ideas are not popping up. People are not moving. They're surviving instead of thriving.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
obviously it doesn't serve the mission, right? So in the private sector, you have revenue, you need to move forward fast because there's competition. In these organizations, you don't have so much competition, even though now there's more and more competition. There are more and more international organizations with broad mandates, but there's not this sense of urgency to keep people engaged on a day-to-day basis and to retain them and provide them with career development and mentoring and support. So
right.
I think that's what we see right now, and keeping people engaged. And also now there's also more requests for flexible work arrangement, part-time. It's slowly getting into international organizations, but it's quite new, to be frank.
And a lot of private companies, they are trying to get closer to their why. They have company values. They will try to cultivate those values and try to keep them in mind so that the goal is clear. You've mentioned the mission, and that is, I guess, the mission of that particular international organization, whatever it might be. And everyone knows it, right? It is absolutely clear what that mission is. And so I'm wondering whether that same kind of challenge that private sector has with regards to why are we here? What are we doing this for? Whether that's the same or whether it's different when it comes to, is it something that is always reverted back to and kind of reconfirmed and clarified? How do you see that?
Yeah, I think there's a growing trend towards placing values, core mission back to within how we do work within this international organization. But I think it's a fairly recent trend. HR has been more on the transactional side. It used to be called personnel management. Then it became HR. Now it's moving towards HR business partnering.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few organizations that have embarked into cultural transformation because they realize that toxic environments doesn't help organizations, creates a lot of issues. So I think it's a recent trend that we're going towards. We're placing values, positive workplace, more at the center of everyone's concern. But there's still a lot of work to be done with managers, with embedding that into the day-to-day considerations. And I think that's really with managers, because on a day-to-day basis, we come to work, we may have some stuff to get done, as you said, and we may not see the bigger picture. We may not see the impact on others. So losing sight of the organization mission can be very, very easy. I've seen that at the UN. You really have to be passionate to keep that every day in mind. But we're humans. Every day we think about routine. We have some habits, and it's fair and it's necessary as well. So who keeps that in mind? I think it's the managers, and the organization with the right policies and the right support to staff on a day-to-day basis.
Got it. Got it. So I think what you're saying is those organizations of which you've worked in, they share the same challenges that the private sector has, despite having clear so-called mission or objective. So I guess in that, it's good to hear in that sense that those challenges are common to all. So I want to maybe ask my final question now, and it's another question which I always like to ask all of my guests on the podcast, and it comes down to transferable skills. So I think we've talked a lot about organizational management and HR, and then also, you know, personal leadership style and whatnot, and even, you know, some of these generational differences which you mentioned before as well. When it comes to transferable skills, and you have transferred yourself many times internationally and organizationally, and of course having that HR leadership perspective as well, what do you consider to be the most valuable transferable skill at this time?
In my view, the most transferable skill is problem solving, because, you know, we tend to face new problems almost every day or every other year, whether they are coming from outside. Of course, COVID was one, Ebola before that, the economic situation, wars. So I think problem solving is the most transferable skills, because even if you have learned a lot in your past, in the past experiences, you will somehow connect the dots when you have good problem solving skill set. And that's called overtime experience, obviously, but also being able to think about a problem, deconstruct it, and take some actions based on experience, also, but also looking at some more forward thinking approaches that you will think about. So it's, I think, at least for me, that's been the one that's carried me around well, problem solving, because even though I have lots of degrees and lots of experiences, I face challenges that are different every day based on context, internally or externally.
Yep. Well, I'm glad to tell you that when it comes to getting stuff done, Barack Obama had an interview where he was talking about the importance of getting stuff done, and he mentioned problem solving. You know, he said that the thing that you can do that will be the most valuable is to bring a solution to, you know, solve that problem. Don't bring that problem and expect to get it done. So I think in that respect, yeah. If he says it's good, then and now you also confirm that, then I'll take that as a good thing that, you know, we should all take into account. So Christelle, thank you so much for being a guest today. It's been an absolute pleasure. If anybody wanted to reach out to you or get in contact, what would be the best way to do that?
I think you can just connect with me through LinkedIn.
All right.
And that would be the best way.
Yeah. We'll share your profile on the show notes as well.
Yes, I'm very happy to get some connection, new connection. So it's always nice.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and sharing all of your insights today.
Thanks for having me, Gordon. Good to see you again.
And that's another episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to get involved and you have someone who you think would be a good guest for the podcast, please drop me a message and I'll be happy to get in touch. Alternatively, if you would like to share this episode on your social media, that would also be extremely appreciated by us. Thank you so much once again. Remember, let's get stuff done.